You're listening to the Viral Molly Podcast. Now here's your host, Rob, on the mic.
Welcome back to yet another episode of College Volleyball Weekly. This time, the continued conversation on the Viral Molly Podcast. And, you know, we lost one of our guys from our previous piece, but we still got Jay Hosick at George Mason and jumping in with perfect timing, head coach Dan Friend of Lewis. Thanks for coming back on, guys.
Thanks.
Well, we just finished week three action. I wanted to get your guys' take on some of the action, but before we talk about that, we were talking about Long Beach State, pretender, contender. They got some great pieces in place and we know that they are deep, but unfortunately there is a collateral effect of having such deep talent. They lost the top recruit in the nation, you know, from what I can gather on the chatter, and it's confirmed from a pretty reliable source. Clifton Lawrence has stepped away from the team, and it just speaks to you. You know, he was the talk of the recruits. And if your team is that deep where he's like, you know what, I'd rather just play pro ball, you know, it says how good that team is. But I wanted to get the coach's take here, and we'll start with you, Dan.
Well, certainly we played Long Beach, and they have a talented group, and Nikolai is really good, but they also have some other great pieces with Clark and Spencer and Aiden running the show, and their libero is phenomenal. Do you know what I mean? So he did a fantastic job against
us. Mason Briggs is insane, what I can see.
Yeah, and I don't know if we talked enough about him, earlier, because he was certainly a difference maker in our match from that standpoint. But I don't know, with that thing with Christian, I mean, ultimately he's probably got his own reasons in terms of that. And maybe we can speculate that it's a talent, but maybe there's a couple other things going on that we're not aware of, whether it be schooling or personal or family stuff, but maybe this was just the better route for him at the time. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
He's able to get in and maybe make some money, and he saw the depth in front of him, but I think that's a tough one. I think as a coach, you always like, you're on the outside speculating and not really know the inner works of what's actually going on in a program. And he may have ended on a great note with those guys and just had to make a different life choice from that standpoint. And so I respect that. And certainly, I mean, Long Beach is talented. So from a volleyball standpoint, I think they're okay. So
how about you, Jay? What's your take on that?
I agree 100% with Dan. It's all speculation. We don't know what the discussions were behind the scenes. You know, Clifton could have had, a family issue and needed to make some money quickly, and that, hey, you know what, I got to put my education on hold. I got to go make some money, help out the family. We don't know if there was a medical issue. We don't know if there was, you know, if he was just upset. We don't know if it was amicable or not. I mean, there's so many things. So the speculation is just that. But here's the scary part. You have a top recruit in the country, and over the years, historically, if you are the top recruit in the country, chances of you playing in your first year are probably pretty good. I mean, there's a few that come to mind, but just think about that for a second. The number one recruit in the country couldn't find the court.
Yeah,
that's pretty scary. Now, whether again that was because he made the decision earlier and said, I gotta go, and then the other guys just got the playing time, or literally he was in the gym and was not on the starting court, that's scary. And that triple-headed beast of Godbold, Olivier, and Nikoloff. And you're right, and Briggs, we don't give that kid enough love. And Aiden Knight slinging the rock around like a gunslinger. That's pretty fun to watch. So it's good volleyball right now.
Maybe we make Mason Briggs the TJ Murray of the Lewis team last year. We just drop his name in every episode somehow.
Drop his name all the time. Jay made a good point, though. We're going to talk about it with some other teams as we go throughout the year, but the COVID effect of still having these lingering players and maybe recruits coming in that are pretty talented that maybe don't touch the floor quite yet. And then can they survive? You know what I mean? Through the pandemic and waiting their turn to get on the floor in terms of that stuff. And it'll be interesting to see that kind of lingering effect that'll have a little bit on some of the talent, and certainly won't make teams any less good or anything. It's just like, it's just what it is. So
yeah, well, with that, you know, let's go into the action in week three. And one of the early matches of the week was one of those shocker results, and I would have mentioned in our volleyballmag.com piece, but Princeton taking UC Santa Barbara at Santa Barbara in four early on in the week. Ben Harrington, 14 kills, 346 hitting, 346, two aces and three block assists. Did you guys get to check the match at all, or did you have any thoughts on it? And we'll start with you, Dan.
Well, I didn't get to watch the match live, but I certainly think, as many teams, Santa Barbara is had a couple pieces missing at times. And this doesn't discredit Princeton at all. Then you see Santa Barbara get a win against Pepperdine, you know what I mean, in terms of that. And so they're trying to figure out the pieces and what's the best flow. And then you have Princeton, who ultimately opens up their season after, 600 days and comes out on this gnarly road trip to start figuring things out. And, you know, they probably put some nice pieces together over this next, you know, was this their third match while they were out there? I'm trying to think. So, you know, and so they put a nice match. They've got some talented kids on that team. So I'm not surprised at all that they beat Santa Barbara in that sense. And, you know, Ben Harrington did some nice things for them, and we'll probably get into it. And then we talk about Damian beat Princeton. You know what I mean? In terms of that. And that was a significant thing for them. You know what I mean? So I think when I talked about this range of teams after you get out of the top echelon of 6, 7, 8, however you want to look at it, I think there's going to be a lot of this. And that's good for volleyball. You know what I mean? Lots of good competitions, lots of talented players. So kudos to Princeton for getting a win out there against Santa Barbara in terms of that. And I thought they put a string of games together there. So.
Yep. About you, Jay?
Yeah, if you know Princeton at all, they're a program that has been steadily building for the last, 10 years or so. And Sam has done such a fantastic job of building that program up. You know, and if you don't know what they do in this January, they don't stay in a hotel together as a group. They all kind of break apart. They have a lot of guys from California there, and they have a lot of families that host the teams. And, they're kind of spread out. They're not really all in one little place. So for them to come together and then, figure out the chemistry on top of all that at the same time, it's a pretty nice win. But yeah, I'm not surprised that Princeton beat Santa Barbara. Santa Barbara is a good team, but so is Princeton. And if anybody thinks that's an upset, they don't see it correctly. And then, Damon did such a nice job of just, Don Gleason's built that team in the last few years, and they've got some kids that can play the game at a high level, and he's coached them up real well. And you know what? Good for them. That's it. Just shows that volleyball is growing across the country, and Mount Olive doing their thing, and Damon doing their thing. Pretty soon we're going to be talking about SIAC teams like this, and that's cool. I think that's pretty fun to watch. So, kudos to all those guys going out there and handling the business.
Yep. Well, with that, I kind of inserted my match that caught my eye. But what matches caught your eyes in week 3? And we'll start with you, Dan.
Well, certainly Ohio State, UCLA, USC, Penn State, that whole grouping of matches. I wanted to see how Penn State would respond on a trip. And I think they played well at times, but I thought they'd come out of there with a split. And then Ohio State without Sopanis, ultimately coming out of there with a win against SC after SC had beat Penn State and battling 5 to UCLA. So I think Birch did a nice job with his guys and getting them prepared. And disappointed is the wrong word with Penn State. I just think I want to see them take that next step against that level. But that's part of making those travel trips and things like that. It's like, hey, guys, we're playing great in our bubble. How do we take this next step against these other teams? And that's a big growth step. So my guess is a little bit – they have another trip, I believe, coming up this next week, and we'll probably talk about it. So it'll be key to see how those guys respond in terms of, hey, can they put a W in their pocket on this next West Coast trip for them? In terms of how they're trying to take some growth step. But yeah, those matches were great. There was some really good volleyball, in terms of, numbers. What, the kid from USC had 30 kills.
That's Simon Gallus, 30 kills, 2 errors, 583.
Yeah, so pretty impressive. So he certainly had a match for those guys in terms of that. So, but that was certainly those grouping of matches from that standpoint. And we got to go play UCLA, and so that'll be big in terms of us how we respond along with Pepperdine. So
right. How about you, Jay?
Yeah, no, I first of all, I'm gonna shout out to my UC Santa Cruz Banana Slugs going forward with Stanford. Good for you guys. I'm gonna fall on the sword here. I called that Penn State was gonna go 2-0 last week, and I had the numbers backwards. They went 0-2, but I don't think it's because Penn State is not that good. If anybody thinks that Penn State's not a good team and they don't deserve to be ranked where they are, you don't understand men's volleyball. And I'll put it on par with this. Your national team head coach and UCLA head coach said that Penn State was the number one team in the country playing volleyball right now, or at least 1 or 2. And it's absolutely true. They just did not play well. UCLA handled them. And Ethan Champlin was a big, large part of that. That kid's really good. So You know, Penn State took the losses. They're going to learn from that stuff. They've got two big matches coming up this week, and Long Beach is going to be a handful, obviously. But Santa Barbara is a team that they're kind of streaky. They're going to be really good one night, maybe not so good the next night, depending on who's playing. And I think that, again, you know, we touch upon all the time with COVID and injuries. But I think it's going to be two more really good matches for Penn State to see where they match up. I'll tell you what else I was watching and was impressed by. I'm really impressed with Long Beach. I think the fact that you've got a three-headed monster and they're pin hitters, you've got a libero that's arguably the best in the country, you got a setter who's just slinging it from all over the place. They're just a lot of fun to watch. So I'm excited to see what they can do this year. I also was impressed by BYU coming back and figuring a couple things out. They had a couple guys come back that were maybe healthy. Were not healthy, I mean, before. And they look markedly different than they did the first week that I saw them. So BYU is back on the trail, and we'll see what they can do the rest of the year.
Yeah. You know, one of the teams we haven't really talked about too much in any of our episodes so far has been UCLA, who came out of this weekend. I think they're calling it the Pac-12 Big Ten Challenge with Ohio State, Penn State, USC, and UCLA. But, you know, they came out 2-0 on the weekend, had a 5-set against Ohio State on night two. But, you know, what do we now know about UCLA, one of three remaining undefeated teams in NCAA Division I, II volleyball? And we'll start with you, Dan.
Well, we already knew they had talent for sure. But I think what we're seeing is seeing that talent start to mesh together a little bit. So I'm not surprised at all. You know, we talked about Ethan Chaplin, Kevin Corbine. You know what I mean? They've got some great pieces in terms of what's going on there. And so I'm looking forward to scouting them this week. And I think they're a top five team in the country, hands down. And it'll be fun to kind of see them continue to develop, you know, so no surprise. You know what I mean? And I think them, Penn State, Long Beach, Hawaii, all teams that are super talented and probably amongst that top four. Pepperdine's right in there in terms of that. So.
About you, Jay, thoughts?
Yeah, I'm with Dan. Obviously, UCLA is UCLA. I think the part that sticks out for me is that it's not any one player. It's them as a group is starting to figure some things out. Partain's doing a nice job running the offense. Obviously, Cobrian, when he's in there on the right side, brings an offensive weapon that, you know, has matured a little bit over the last couple of years. I love the fact that he never cracks a smile. He doesn't get all hyped up. He just does his business and turns around and goes, you know, to the huddle and moves on. It's pretty fun to watch. But, yeah, UCLA is one of those teams that, you know, they're just going to make you play the game at a high level for a long period of time, for long stretches. And if you're not prepared for a knockdown, you know, drag out fight, you know, blows back and forth, you're not going to be successful on the other side of it. They're just going to put so much pressure on you from all angles.
You know, UCLA brought in an opposite this year, another international player that's on my watch list, a freshman from Kiryat Atta Israel, Ido David, who had some good playing time on Friday night. Good to hear Anne-Marie Anderson on the call, but he was doing some good things and I had no idea. I mean, obviously we've had Tamir Hershko at UC Irvine, but this kid is pretty darn good. And he didn't even play the second night.
Yeah, I think when he had 14 kills against that five gamer against Ohio State, you know,
yeah,
a couple aces. Yeah, it was good.
Yeah.
So another international player on the watch list. And Simon Gallus, another one of USC, upsetting Penn State. Now, I wanted to talk about that matchup particularly because, you know, you do have the beast, Penn State. Wildman, you got Marsh, who just received, I believe it was a defensive player of the week or EIVA player of the week. Walder, these guys are playing some good ball, and USC was able to pull it out. Pretty powerful matchup there. But then SC the next night ends up losing to Ohio State. So, you know, a lot of things shifting around there about talent wise. We talked about in the earlier segment, but you guys are actually coming into this new week four. I wanted to, let's look at the top players in week three first and then talk about our week four matchups that we're watching. So we'll start with you, Jay.
I think Nicola from Long Beach State, top player of the week, probably will be in many of the weeks. Against Lewis, he hit 364, and against Loyola, he hit 429. We mentioned it earlier, the team service errors for Long Beach State against Lewis was 13. Nikoloff had five of them. And the service errors against Loyola, the team had 12. he had six of them. And I think it goes to prove that, you know, Long Beach has given that kid the green light, you know, win, lose or draw. They want him to do what he does. And so, you know, he's going out and he's banging it behind the service line. It's a nasty looking serve. I think the number seven is definitely in front of the other number. If you're looking at the radar gun, you know, I think the other one that we are overlooking, but maybe not so much on the coach's side, Dodbold's doing a real nice job. He was the top recruit there when he came in, and that kid's really solid. And I think, you know, UCLA, Ethan Champlin is a 6'3 outside hitter. And, you know, we saw him growing up and thought he had some real potential to be pretty good at the next level. I didn't think it would be this fast, but man, can that kid play volleyball. And he's, you know, he's just got a powerful arm. He sees the game in a high level. He has all the different array of shots that he can bring in his arsenal. So I think he's a lot of fun to watch.
Yep. How about you, Dan?
Well, certainly he brought up Nikolai from Long Beach, but we talked about Mason as well. You know what I mean? He was pretty clutch on us the first night. And
Mason Briggs, not George Mason, just for clarity.
Yeah. So, he led both teams in digs, and he was in the, you know, six.
The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly, but then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
16%. It was pretty up there. Yeah, I mean, it was pretty crucial. I had some key digs in the match, especially in game two. So, but Simon for sure, Gallus at USC, you know, 30 kill night, pretty huge against, Penn State and getting that win. But I think the other kind of silent guy was David Gardena at BYU against Irvine, back to back nights. I think hitting above 400, 14 and 18 kills, and those guys kind of swinging things into motion a little bit. So I think that was pretty key for them getting a couple wins against your guys, Rob. I'm sorry. You know what I mean?
I know.
So. So I think certainly some performances there that were pretty good. So.
Yeah. Davide Gardini had some really, really good play this last weekend against UC Irvine, and my guys kind of hurt, but you know, it's okay. One of the guys I'm always watching, though, on my end, Camden Gianni of Grand Canyon hit 17 kills, 333, four aces and seven digs against UC San Diego, beat them in San Diego 3-1. So, you know, that was going to be a great matchup. I didn't get to watch it. Kyle McCall against Camden Gianni. I feel like they're some of the most entertaining outside hitters to watch in the nation just because they're on the smaller, not smaller side, but of like the guys that are 6'7", 6'8", 6'9", 6'10", outside hitters. It's so cool to see 6'4", 6'5", guys battling out like this. So
they're still missing Janky, right? So he wasn't playing.
Correct. Yeah. So. And they actually had another setter in. So I'm not sure, or Grand Canyon had another setter in. So I don't know what's happening there because Hughes wasn't listed in the box score. It was Nicholas Slight was.
Yeah, he's a San Diego kid. So yeah, makes sense.
But yeah, that was one of the top players. I just enjoy watching Gianni play. Obviously, the story behind his life is pretty incredible, but he's definitely a high flyer and a big hitter. Any other matches, or should we jump to week four matches to watch?
We certainly got to give some love to the SIAC conference, as well as we talked a little bit about Damien beating Princeton. So I think you know, it's a big win for a program. It's, you know, we talked about Gleason doing some great things, and he's been building that program. And so we had to, you know, make sure we're touching base on that match a little bit. But
yeah. Well, we did the other piece, but is Kentucky State got their first win. It was Fort Valley State that also got their first win as well.
Yeah, absolutely. Kudos to Damon and Coach Don Gleason. He's doing a nice job. And that program is only going to get better. It's a hotbed of recruiting talent in that area too. So that's good news for them. And obviously all the SIAC teams, you know, Larry Rather at Fort Valley State gets his first win as a head coach, and that's pretty cool. And, you know, I know he's really excited about the future of that program. So kudos to all those guys.
Yep. Let's jump over to the matches we'll watch, but I need to sneak this stat in there before we talk about week two, we only had two COVID cancellations. Unfortunately, we kind of had an uptick in week three. We had at least what I can find, six. So we're back up. But I wanted to ask you guys about, you know, they're saying, you know, the nationwide news saying that we've seen peaks in certain areas and we're beginning to level off. But do you guys feel that this is going to taper off anytime soon? I guess, I mean, for the volleyball fans, it's like, and us being involved, it's, we'll get that call 24 hours before match is canceled and you're not working again. So, or you're not playing. So, but what are you guys seeing in your regions there? Cause you're on the East Coast, Jay, and then Dan, you're in the Midwest. So Jay, let's start with you.
You know, I think I speak for a lot of coaches out there. I'm so exhausted by all this and I can't even imagine the kids. The challenge I think the coaches are facing is not necessarily about trying to protect, just protect our teams. It's all the periphery information and people that call and all the different protocols and all the different requests. And, you know, and when you're a coach, you're supposed to be focusing on your team and the upcoming matches and scouting reports and all the stuff that comes along with being a coach. And yeah, when you're on the road, there's a couple of more things you got to deal with, you know, in terms of travel and planes and hotels and this and that. But it's just the periphery outside of that, of all the people that have, you know, COVID requests, or they have issues with COVID, or they got this protocol against that protocol. And it just muddies up the waters. And I know for a little while there, Washington, D.C. in our backyard was the hotbed of the country. And, you know, we've had some COVID issues and dealt with some stuff just like everybody else. But we've remained relatively, you know, safe from it all. But just like everybody else, it's, you know, you're dealing with not a full team to practice with. You're dealing with, you know, guys that are normally starters not being able to go on road trips. And you got, it's all kinds of stuff. And I'm exhausted by it. I can't wait for the day when we don't have to wear a mask anymore, when we don't have to worry about COVID, when we don't have to do the daily assessments, all that stuff, when it's gone and we can just go back to being, you know, normal business as usual. Be a great day.
Yeah. Dan, what do you got to add there?
I don't know. Jay hit a lot of it. So we're in a region that's certainly ramped up and, you know, but everybody's reaction is so different in so many different areas. And I think that's the tough part. And it's tough for the student athlete right now, as well as the coaches, in terms of trying to figure out which message is being sent, you know, and you want to be able to bend in the flow and you got to support your administration and your medical staffs. But even outside of that, you know, politically wise, the message that keeps changing and moving, do you know what I mean? And so, and I think that's the tough part is like, and the student athlete is the ones that suffer more than anything. Do you know what I mean? Cause it's like, they change every other day about how they want to view it. And so it's like, we get to the point where it's a virus and we have to deal with it. I think that's the key thing. Do you know what I mean? And so, and we're seeing that with this Omicron, you know, one, do you know what I mean, in terms of that. And hopefully we can get back to a little bit more normalcy. I hope this is it, the wave wise, you know what I mean? I hope we can kind of find a way to manage over the next few months. And, but on the flip side, we are playing volleyball.
Yeah.
Okay. So it's not like everybody's been shut down and, you know, we had that first rough week, but I don't know how many cancellations were there? 5, 6 this last weekend?
Went from a 20 plus in week one back down to 2 and then back up to 6.
Right. So I just, if we're playing a large percentage of these matches, then it's a win. And so I think we just got to keep moving forward and being resilient. And I think that's the important piece. So
I think if you talked about it 10 years ago, having 22 matches canceled, that would be nearly half of the matches across the country. Now that's not the case. So that part's pretty cool.
Yeah. Well, there are two teams we still haven't seen yet that I can confirm, Charleston and Cal State Northridge. So hoping, and they're listed on the schedule this upcoming week. So hopefully they can see the court, assuming their COVID protocols have, or they've cleared COVID protocols. So let's continue on with our week four matches to watch. And let's go to Dan on this one first. And then we'll go to
there's a handful. I mean, you just talked about Northridge, I think, plays UCLA. And so we're going to get to see those guys play. Your guys play USC, which is great. Do you know what I mean?
Twice.
Yeah. So we got the Big West Big Ten Challenge, which I think is key. You're going to see Long Beach face off against Penn State and Ohio State, and UC Santa Barbara face off both those guys as well. And then probably the last one I would mention would be Ball State and Hawaii. Donan's, I think Ball State's first real challenge. I think Donan's done a nice job with the pieces he has. They've got Angelo, is it Mandelaris?
Mandelaris.
Opposite that has reemerged after his shoulder surgery and everything, and as well as Caleb Jennings. And they've got a nice setter in Quinn who dishes a rock really well. And so, so it'll be interesting to see how those battle against Hawaii and how that looks in terms of that. So, yeah, lots of good ones for sure. And I didn't want to steal them all, Jay. So you got there some other ones for sure. Yeah.
Jay's going to say Lewis Pepperdine. I know that one.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, you are going to hear that one. I'm actually anxious to see Lewis and Pepperdine only because that's two programs that have a loss. And so they're both going to try to avenge it this weekend. So that's going to be a lot of fun to watch. You know, Dan touches on it all the time. He has a pretty big blocking front line at times. And last time I checked, combined, I think they're touching 148 feet as a group. So it's ridiculous how tall that team is. But I'm definitely going to be watching that. I'm really interested in Hawaii Ball State, and Dan touched upon Angelo Mandelaris. The kid, we were unfortunately the beneficiaries of his first match back after his shoulder surgery. And he hasn't lost a step. The kid's is in shape and he's good to go. And that team is really good. And Caleb Jennings is doing some really nice things. He's hitting the snot out of that ball and he jumps really well. And so he hit some angles that we have not seen in recent years. I'm definitely going to be watching that one. I'm going to be watching Penn State against Santa Barbara and against Long Beach. I think Long Beach is going to be a handful. I think Penn State could beat Santa Barbara. If they're, you know, maybe licking their wounds a little bit from this past week and use it as motivation. I really want to see Northridge against UCLA only because we haven't seen Northridge at all this year. And I know they've had some issues off the court with some health stuff, and that's, you know, what everybody's dealing with, but it'll be interesting to see what they do. And then last but not least, Charleston, because we haven't seen Charleston either. It's going to be fun to see them. I know they got a couple of good kids from Australia on that team. Their head coach is obviously from Australia, and Australia in recent years has started to send some kids to the States that know how to play the game pretty well. So you might see a little influx of the old Aussies from down under coming into the United States.
Yeah. Yeah. Paul Carroll, the is assistant head coach at Pepperdine from Australia. Tommy Hodges back in the Pacific days and then finished out his career at UC Irvine. So got some good talent from down in the South Pacific. One of the matches that was on my radar, I think I didn't realize it was called the Pac or the Big West Pac or Big Ten Challenge, but Ohio State at Long Beach State, I guess prior to that match, on the women's side of things, there is a gathering to meet or a meet and greet for Tyler Hildebrand, the new coach of the Long Beach State women's program and his staff. So there's gonna be a lot of pomp and circumstance outside the Walter Pyramid and then into the match. So, but if I wasn't working my own match that night, that's one of the ones I'd want to be at just to see both Ohio State and Penn State because a good crew, haven't seen in a while, Birch and, of course, Pav in a long time. So, you know, see the Big West guys enough. But, you know, definitely some good volleyball being played in the Walter Pyramid.
Well, isn't Nick like associate head coach for both teams now? So Nick,
yeah, double the paycheck, right?
Double the paycheck.
That's a pretty heavy load to haul. Being an associate head coach on one Division I team is enough in its own right. Being it for two on both sides when you're year round now. I mean, in recruiting on the women's side, that's a massively big undertaking. So
I don't think he has to recruit as much. I think his more focus is on the teams on the court, but still, it doesn't matter. I mean,
it's a lot.
Yep. Well, anything else that we missed, gentlemen?
No,
we need to drop in there. All right. Well, with that concludes episode 3 of the Viral Volley Podcast version of College Volleyball Weekly on the jump over from volleyballmag.com. So again, be sure to check the streaming matches resource over at volleyballmag.com. And, you know, thanks to Jay Hossack of George Mason and Dan Friend of Lewis. And you know, we're talking behind Dave Hunt's back of Pepperdine because Dan's playing Dave. And we were really pulling for Dan. We just didn't want Dave to know about it. Just kidding, Dave, because I know you're going to listen to this. But hey, thanks for coming on again, gents.
Thank you, Chris.